Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and her war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you tonight?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. So I can't believe you're doing the show, and then where are you going?
Vermont. I'll get up there.
Wow. So you're going to take a few days off? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, I took tomorrow off so that we can go. And walking her job, she's working her entertainment job. She's working her fitness job. So I got to pick her up in Long Beach, and then we are out. We are going to Vermont, and we are going to be there until Saturday.
Wow, and
so
I hope
gonna
you
be like
rested a little today for such a long ride tonight.
Yeah, no, I worked all day.
Oh, I hope you don't fall asleep. You both are going to – she can't
fall asleep
if you're driving, okay? You guys got to be like, you know.
No, I won't. Well, I'm not going to leave right as soon as the show ends. I'm going to lay down. So I'm going to end
okay,
it only on taking about 40 minutes
to
get there.
You're cutting in and out a little bit tonight, Nicole. I'm not sure why. You're cutting in and out.
Okay. So
you know, it's funny because you probably, you know, the cell phone sometimes, I don't know, you move and they cut in and out, you know. It's like, I don't really know why, but sometimes that happens. But, you know, I'm so glad that you are taking a little time off to enjoy the, you know, the cold while it's still here, and the snowboarding, and one last spring weekend of that. That sounds good. And then after that, you have to start wishing for warm. You have to start wishing for warm weather, please.
All right.
All right. You know, is that a I get such a kick out of you. And, you know, we got a lot of nice emails after last week's show. People seem to find, you know, a lot of what we were saying interesting. And sometimes I keep, you know, reinforcing things so that people will hear it in their head, in their life. You know, when they're in a similar situation, they might hear me saying, nope, it's not your job to fix that person. It's not your job to save them.
Yep.
So people are laughing. They go, you know, everyone emailed me that they were given at least one situation this week where they were going to step in and fix. And then all of a sudden they heard me saying, it's not your job to fix that situation.
Yep.
And they were able to successfully maneuver themselves out of it. And I just think that's really interesting, don't you think, that they're hearing and listening. Do you find yourself,
yeah,
you know, sometimes doing that too? Do you hear some of what we go over in the show in your head?
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, it happens to me all the time, you know, where I'm like, oh, I getcha, you know, I mean, and I don't always catch it right away. Sometimes, you know, I get myself into a tizzy and then I go, I shouldn't have been here in the first place. Got it. You know, so it does resonate with me a lot. And it's something that I say to a lot of people as well, you know, because right now my poor friend Mark, now this is a man who is so religious. He's got the utmost faith in God. You know, he's just one of the nicest, kindest people that I've ever met, on top of the fact that he's so religious and he's constantly, you know, with the belief that God is going to provide and God is going to take care of him. And, you know, here is a guy that has not in his entire life been able to catch a break. You know, he had a great career opportunity and that was blown for him by, you know, somebody that he was with. And then he had another opportunity, and, you know, it kind of fell apart. You know, he's in an unhappy marriage at the same time, and now he's going through a health crisis where he's literally riddled with cancer. And the one thing that people keep saying is for somebody like Mark to constantly have this run of bad luck, you know, why, you know, like why, you know, of all the shitty people out there, why him, who's really, really one of the most righteous people that many have known? And my answer is always the same. It's that because he doesn't say no. He doesn't stop. This is God's way of saying you should not be helping those who do not deserve your help. You know, like if you needed $5, he would find, and he had three, he'd find a way to give you 10, you know, and that's just always been him. But he gives his love too freely, and he gives his time too freely, and he definitely has helped those who were not deserving. And I firmly believe that his issues and his run of bad luck is because he's taking it. You know, it's because he just keeps adding more and more onto the burden instead of saying, enough, my cup is full.
Right. And also, cancer has a very strong element of anger.
Oh, yeah.
And anger stuffed down. Okay?
Oh, absolutely.
Stuffing it down. Even though we think we're okay, that we've helped all these people that later on turn out not be, you know, grateful for us.
Oh, yeah,
or ask, what can you do for me now? But he would have been, what I would say, a prime candidate for cancer. You know, stuffing down anger.
Oh, absolutely. And here's... If you want to talk about a mind-body connection, Cindy, like I said, he's not really in a happy marriage. His wife is one sick chick, let me tell you. This guy has been going across, you know, over to Ohio when he doesn't have a person just to see specialists for what he's got. And, you know, she's like, you're a big boy. You can handle it by yourself. Has not stepped up to help this man whatsoever, you know. I mean, and it's really, really sickening. And not only that, but when he was away in Ohio for about a week, like part of the problem that he was having was chronic bleeding, you know, like he would tap something and he would just, the blood would just start coming and they couldn't get control of it. And when he was in Ohio, he did not a single outbreak. The blood completely stopped. He got home. Guess what happened? The bleeding started again.
Yeah.
So, and all he had to do was go home and go into that house. That house is cancerous. You know, she is cancerous. And, you know, he really, really needs to get that message, and the rest of our listeners need to get that message. You know, that there is, whether you believe necessarily in what Cindy does, whether you believe in an afterlife, or, you know, whether you believe in anything like that, you know, it's completely irrelevant, because I know that some people are skeptical, and I know that some people believe wholeheartedly, and that's okay, and some people don't believe at all. That's also okay. It's your preference. That's fine. But if you don't believe in anything, believe in the power of your brain and the power of your brain's control over the rest of your body, okay? Believe in the mind-body connection. If you don't believe in anything else, believe in that, okay? Because your brain is a mysterious thing. In all of the years, in all of the technological advancements, we still don't understand how it works, okay? We still don't understand what happens in it. So you know what? Do yourselves a favor and listen to your brain and listen to your body, because they know more than you do. They know more than than your conscious mind knows.
Exactly. And, you know, it's funny that, you know, you're bringing this up, because it's a very important thing about, you know how you said, you know, she's done everything for this toxic wife, and now he has cancer, and that's God's way of saying now, all these shitheads that you've helped, now you ask them to help you, and they're going to say, sorry, no can do. And the wake-up call in this for him is that, you know, he needs to pray to do what's best for everyone, including himself, but to realize he's in a toxic marriage, and he's a very old, religious, you know, old-school, religious, nice person, but till death do us part is what's going to happen to him, because if he doesn't get out of it, because it's the only way out for him, and he doesn't want to be there anymore, but he doesn't know how to work his way out of it. And so if people are in toxic relationships, toxic marriages, even in a toxic job you can't stand, eventually it makes us sick. It really does make us sick. And, you know, cancer is in us 24/7. We're always fighting. It's always in us. Why do sometimes we're able to fight and other times we can't? It's because the crap level just gets too high. And he's what, you know, in our book I refer to as the great crap takers and the great enablers and the donkey person who works and works and works and a martyr. to sacrifice his life for people that haven't done it for him. And where does it get people? Sick, disillusioned, unhappy, depressed. I mean, I've been there, done that. Everything that I teach, by the way, is because I was at, you know, at those moments in my life, like, why am I so unhappy? What am I doing wrong? And it took a long time for inner searching and guidance from the other side to say, nobody's asking you to sacrifice your life for everybody. That's not doing it for you, Cindy. You're doing it. You're not getting brownie points from us up here. You're interfering with alchemy. Nobody learns anything because you're cleaning up their mess. Why don't you leave them all where they fall? And it's not easy for older souls because we're very competent. We can help people. It's our nature to help. But every day in my job, I have to know what the line is between I'm just a messenger delivering messages, but I'm not a fixer. You got to fix yourself, everybody. You know. So I'm glad you shared that tonight because it is timely and it resonates with you and it reinforces every single thing that we say on the show. And I don't. And I am sorry that your friend is a living example of everything we talk about on the show. I don't want that to be. And, you know, and the prognosis for his recovery really is getting away from all the toxic people. That will help him more than anything.
And I think that you met him, Cindy. I think you met him at my wedding.
Yes. I thought that's who you were talking about, but I wasn't, because I remember thinking what a really nice person he was. And and, you know, prayers will pray for him. And I'm going to just pray that he does what's best for him, okay? And that's my prayer.
Absolutely.
The hell with everybody else. What's best for him. And if he, if anybody's struggling through...
It's time that he puts himself first.
Right. And if anybody's struggling
You have to put yourself first. You know, it's okay. Like, people think it's narcissistic if they put themselves first. There's a difference between, you know, putting yourself first in a narcissistic way and putting yourself first in a very constructive way, you know, and there's, you have to educate yourselves on that, and you have to know what the difference is, and you have to know when you're doing things for yourself or when you're doing things for notoriety or when you're doing things for other people, you know, and you have to know when helping hurts. Absolutely, you know, and you have to know when helping hurts, you know, when helping hurts you or when helping hurts other people, you know, that should never, ever be the case. So, you know,
and remember, on the airplane,
we all have to educate ourselves.
What do they always say in an airplane? Give yourself oxygen first before you give it to anybody else.
Put your mask on before you help those around you.
Right. So that's what we say. You have to give yourself the oxygen, and if you have anything left, then you can help others. But sometimes God just makes life so hard for people that keep helping others because eventually God says, I just have to stop you from ka-chinging up negative karma. By helping people or not helping themselves. So I'm going to give you a major illness, very easy to stir up all that anger that's stuck down, and you'll have cancer. And now you have to worry about you, and you can't worry about anybody else. And I try to always save people from that. Don't let life do that. Disempower you so now you can say no. Because good people, the only way they can ever say no is if they're really in dire straits. Okay? You know, then okay, I really can't help you. But if we're just marginally sick, we still help. Okay? If we're just almost broke, we still help. When we're down and out totally broke, we don't have the money to help at all. So that's our little message for, you know, this year. You know, don't be a great enabler. And, you know, I always reinforce it because, you know, my nature is to enable and help everybody, okay? That is my nature, okay? But learning to step back a little bit has been a hard lesson for me. And I do it. And it doesn't get easier sometimes. It just gets, you just know it's the right thing, okay? You know, you just know what you're supposed to do. Well, we do have a lot of listeners tonight, which I'm glad, because at first when I was logging on, no one was on except not even me, because I was waiting for you, and I was like, oh, my. And then all of a sudden we have our listeners, which is always good. And if anybody wants to speak to us, Nicole, can you please tell them the little drill?
Or do you have a question?
If they want to speak to us,
press 1 and then I need to pull you in the chat room so that we can get you on the air. Of course, we always do our best to get everybody on the air, but in the event that it's on the air, then just stay and we will get you on the air. So you can send the email at what that email?
Okay, and you're still cutting out, Nicole. So I'm going to try. Let's pick up the first caller, which is the 8761, and
okay.
See what
I'm
going
to try to
are.
Screen people.
Okay, great. That'll be great.
Hello, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Hello. Hello, I'm Cindy, and who is this?
Oh, this is Desmond. Calling from
Hi,
Cleveland.
Desmond. It's so nice to hear a male voice. We always get women. We get like one man for every 1,000 women. So thank you, Desmond, for calling. Where are you calling from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, so why don't you tell us what's on your mind and how we can help you?
Oh, yeah, I have a lady friend. We are, you know, we're real close, but we're not together, but we're just real close. And she fell out like Sunday, but she always got like a quick temper attitude problem. You know, so I think it's from stuff that she hasn't dealt with from prior relationships where she projects it on me, you know. But I just, like, at the point now, I'm wondering if I should just leave it alone completely. Because it kind of goes with the theme of the program, you know. Just it's starting to get, like, just toxic, maybe enjoyable to be around.
Okay, you're a very smart guy, by the way. The things that you've been saying and notating, oftentimes the good people ends up being like the whipping boards from, you know, everything that's happened. You know, she's been abused by people in her past, whether it's her family members, her parents, her lovers, and now she's got this nice guy that she takes it out on. And, you know, you're a nice guy, and I'm sure you're trying to be patient, but she tends to take all of her relationships, and even one like you that's starting out good as a friend and a nice person, and turns them very toxic pretty quickly, because she's got a lot of anger issues, okay? And toxic love serves a purpose. What are you going to do with all that childhood anger? Are you going to gun down 400 people in the street, or are you going to take someone you love or like and rage behind closed doors and then look normal in the outside world? So, I mean, it's hard for you. You're a very nice, kind man. I could see there's a very strong connection here. You know, you guys could conceivably have a good relationship, and I think that's why you've stuck around with her, because she does have some good traits. But you would need to state to her, you know, I really like you and I like being near you, but when you start screaming or being abusive or taking it out on me, I have to draw the line. I can't be around you. So if you're going to do that, I'm going to leave you today. I'm going to go somewhere else today, or I'm just going to say I'll see you another time. Like, don't stick around and let her abuse you, because it must be hurting you. Do you feel hurt when she does it?
Not so much hurt, just irritated. Oh, man. You know, cause I know where it's coming from, but it's just like, we get to the point, like, it's just, I don't even want to be around you, you know.
Right, and, you know, The funny part about her is, prior to you, all the men she picked were not great, okay? They were really what we call the unfixables. They were manipulative, judgmental, not accountable for their behaviors. They had addictions. And she could rage with them because they did bad stuff and made her look like the good one, because she's not doing anything bad. They are. And she could rage. Now she's with a good man. And she has no reason really to get mad at you. You're not doing anything wrong, but she still needs to rage. So, you know, it's, I don't see her changing unless you begin to just tell her, this is not acceptable to me. She really could use some therapy, and, you don't want to be her therapist, but, you know, yeah, I mean, you know, remember, I tell people, our job is not to fix people. Your job is to deliver the message that you really like her and you do like being near her. But when she starts screaming or being abusive, you just can't tolerate that. And then go away from her. Don't see her. Go home. You know, don't call for a while and see if she, you know, learns from it. If you keep sticking around while she's doing it, she's just going to keep doing it. And I am seeing another woman that coming into the picture that would be more of like a soulmate, heart, soul, mind, body relationship. Are you ready for that? Because it's circling right near you. It's ready to come if you're ready.
Yeah, I think it's kind of good in a way because I'll be able to appreciate her even that much more. You know, so.
Right, and that's why maybe this woman might be your last lesson in it's not your job to rescue women who have been abused by other people. You know, it's her job to rescue herself. And then, you know, you're there for her. But, it looks to me like you tend to kind of want to rescue women. Do you know that about yourself?
Yeah, like the last two, you know, I don't know, maybe that's been from, you know, trying to have women think there's better men instead of being, sleeping around, try to change my ways like a couple of years ago. So I think that's where is that stemming from? Because I'm trying to change the, you know, the bad stigma that, you know, women have with men. But, I wasn't always a super nice guy. I just tried to, now I'm just trying to show me something different out here. So yeah, so that could somewhat come to my demise, you know, because you just can't save everybody. You could just help them a little bit and keep moving on. So.
Right, and nice men tend to be men who do want to help women rescue them, but you know sometimes, these women have their own dysfunction, and you know you're feeling sorry for her because the men were abusive to her, but you know, she's being abusive to you, so I don't know what you learned from that. Do you know what I mean? Did you learn to be abusive, or did you learn that that's not right to be that way? So it looks like this time around, the woman that's coming is one that doesn't need fixing. She needs you to love her and be her friend and be her lover and her companion, but she doesn't need you to be her knight in shining armor and rescue her. Because rescuing always becomes dysfunctional. You try to rescue this woman, and all of a sudden she's persecuting you or screaming at you, and you're feeling like a victim. So, you know, step outside of rescuing women because it doesn't work. How old are you, by the way, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, older, like 36.
And how old are you?
No, I'm 46. You said
how old? Okay, you're 46. You're 46. Okay.
Yeah, she's 15 years older. So I think she's like 60.
So. Okay, so that's what I thought. I'm like, she's old enough to have rescued herself now, darling. Okay? I mean, you know, because what I was seeing here is, you know, he's like not an old guy. He's young. But this woman is like old enough to have fixed herself. You know, you're not going to cheat, you know, fix her at this point. And, you know, what I'm seeing is the woman that's coming is a little closer to your age, but one who's got her act together. And, you know, you're a really nice guy and you deserve to have a really healthy relationship. And, you know, sometimes you might want to examine your own childhood, your own parents' relationship. Was your dad not great to your mom?
He was okay. He wasn't super bad, but yeah, I think maybe that's where it's stemming from. Like, you know,
because you know, mm-hmm. part of it is nice guys always almost want to rescue their mothers, and
right.
You know, and they always end up picking women who they think are being victimized by men. But in all honesty, your mother, my mother, me, grown women can't be victims. Okay, it's up to them to get themselves out of the mess as much as they can. And, you know, as far as this woman goes, it only looks like it'll get more toxic. I don't see it getting better here. So, you know, you sort of called into the right show to hear maybe what you need to hear. But we don't get brownie points from God for taking abuse from people. Older souls make a lot of excuses for abuse. They feel bad mm-hmm. that, you know, for people. But that has to stop. You know, we have to start, you know, having, you know, abusive childhood or abusive relationships doesn't give you a license to abuse others.
Right.
And, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't. So, you know, your mantra might be, I'm not rescuing any women anymore. You know, I want a woman who's already rescued herself so that you can be two equals. And, you know, do us a favor and call in again in the future and let us know what happens here.
Okay.
And, you know, You know, I think, you know, you're really a nice guy. And nice men tend to take a lot of abuse from women. And, you know, nobody should be abusing anybody.
Yeah, because it's not like, you know, she like you like, if it was just a female I just met, I probably would just be done with it. But since she kind of takes advantage of the friendship because, you know, let her get away with me because, we, you know, we're both her friends. So that's what she kind of, you know, unconsciously takes advantage of it. So, yeah.
Right, and again, friends don't abuse us, okay?
Right.
I mean, you know, older souls are so used to being abused, you know. It's like, oh, it's, you know, they don't even know it's abusive until they step away from it. But it shows me that, Desmond, you're becoming a very healthy human being because you're coming to the place of self-love. You're loving yourself the way you love your child. It's, you know, you're coming to love yourself. You deserve better than that, don't you think?
Yeah.
And, you know, you just deserve better than that. And the older people get, by the way, they start their tolerance for how much crap they're willing to take gets lower and lower. I mean, it's like they took enough already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's a part where you just don't want to take it anymore. So, you know, I'm so glad you called in. And, you know, good luck to you. And thanks for sharing your story with us because it's always good to hear. You know, a lot of times the women are calling complaining about men. I like to hear a man's side of the story once in a while. You know, hey, ladies, it's not just, you know, men abusing you. You do a pretty good job of abusing the men, too. It goes a two-way street. Well, thank you so much for calling in, and please call in again.
Okay, I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye.
Now, Nicole, that was a different slant on our show, wasn't it? You know,
oh, yes.
And I loved it that he's a younger man and he's a friend with a woman who's a little bit
yeah.
older and, you know, all of that. He's like a really nice man. And, you know, it's funny when people finally say, you know, they just need validation. Am I being abused? Yes, you are. You know?
No, well, what
in
I like about it is
it.
That, you know, oh, yeah. But what I like about it is that, you know, I like getting the other perspective because what is the first thing or one of the first things that you say, you know, in your opening monologue, you say that, you know, when it comes to me, that I'm here because women are making the same mistakes, you know, in relationships with each other as you know, men are, you know, so it's not indicative of, you know, or rather the behavior is not indicative of just one gender. And I like the fact that the tables are turned here. And I like the fact that it's a man saying, yo, you know, these women are just, you know, or this woman in this particular case, whatever, you know, they're not with it. They're not all there, you know, and it's, what am I doing here? You know, I'm being taken advantage of. Am I being abused? You know, because women tend to get on that, especially in today's climate. Women are jumping on this man-hating friggin' bandwagon that just because you have a penis, you're automatically wrong. And that couldn't be more wrong. And I like the fact that he's questioning and that he's looking into, you know, to his more sensitive side. And he is looking into, you know, things that are more constructive within a relationship, that he's not the typical man that everybody, you know, wants to stereotype.
Exactly, and that, and you know, and it's funny because I would never want any of these people, men ever, to think that I take women's sides entirely because it's not true. I mean, if anybody knows me, I can't stand when women get away with stuff that men can't. When they, like, you know, are violent, you know, and abusive, and if a man did that, you know, he'd be arrested, but women get away with it. I never like women to get away with, you know, I can't stand that, you know. If a man can't get away with that, don't you get away with it, you know? So,
yeah, no, it's ridiculous. It really, really has become ridiculous. So, you know, I do, I love it when the men call in, and I love it when the men, you know, are proving women wrong, you know, in a sense. I really, really do, because it's wrong. You know, just like it was wrong when men did it to women, you know, 50, 60 years ago, it's just as wrong for women to do it to men now.
Exactly, and
You know, two wrongs don't make a right.
And interesting enough, of course, he was talking about a toxic relationship. And I think I think that's something we never talked about when I was growing up, by the way. We didn't have words like dysfunction, toxic. Okay? We didn't even talk about it. It was just something you never aired your dirty laundry of your family. You never said it.
Nope.
You never
even
talked
about
it.
Even when I was growing up, it was you made your bed, you lie in it.
Right. And so, you know, this is relatively new phenomena to really mention that things are toxic, and there's degrees of toxic. You know, we always think of like abusive people are being, you know, like they're really beating you and stuff. No, there's a lot of abuse that's just, you know, subtle, verbal things. It's not always, you know, it's a little subtle stabbings at you that, you know, eat at your self-esteem. And, you know,
yep.
We deal with all of that here. What is the level of abuse? And since we are talking about abuse, I am doing on August 8th a fundraiser in Setauket for a place called Brighter Tomorrows, and it's for victims of domestic abuse, and they've been around since about 1983 and offer shelter for women who are being battered or abused. And I think it's a phenomenal organization, and, you know, I'm always for, like, let's help people get out of those situations. If they need immediate emergency care, that's something that's there for them. Most of us aren't being that battered and abused. We just need to know that, you know, you need someone validating, though, that's not right. No, that's not healthy.
Oh, absolutely.
And sometimes it's what we say on the show all the time. If you wouldn't want somebody to talk to your child or treat your child like that, you'd be very upset. Then know that that's toxic. Even, you know, we just don't
mm-hmm.
have a barometer of that when it's done to us, you know, and I'm glad that, you know, people are talking about that on the show a lot, but because it really is my mission. It's like, you know, sometimes we've got to end these toxic things before we can have a higher love. And
yep.
We always hope for the higher love, don't we?
Of course we do. But, you know, in order to get to the higher love, people need to know how to recognize, you know, the subtleties of being in bad relationships, you know, and that's what I think people lack. You know, it's not just, you know, it's not going to happen like in the movies. It's not going to, you know, it's going to be a little bit different than that. And, you know, if you don't recognize those indicators that you're not in a healthy relationship and that you're not in a good relationship, or if you're just so used to the dysfunction that you automatically project and think that all dysfunction is normal in a relationship, then you're never going to get that higher love. So before we hope for the higher love, hope that people get educated on those subtleties of toxicity within your relationship so that you can better those things within yourself and then receive your one and only and your true love, your soulmate, whatever you want to call that person, you know, that higher love.
Exactly. And, you know, I love the way that you're saying all of this because it really is what the show is about. It's about figuring out, am I in something toxic? And when you said you made your bed, lie in it, that used to be the answer for us. Like people would say, well,
that
you made it and lie in
it.
That was
everywhere.
That was the discussion.
Yep.
That was it. That was like, so,
well,
who cares?
You picked them. You picked them.
And that's it. And no one would support you out of it.
Though.
No one. And, I mean, it would be
oh,
like, okay.
No.
So, you know, so at least now people have a place to, you know, to air it, talk it, and, you know, figure out what they want to do. Always, you know, if it's a fixable person, we always try to fix those relationships. And, you know, sometimes people learn to be abusive. I know your generation can be pretty abusive, mainly because they drink too much. And when they're
terrible.
Involved in relationships and they're drinking, it gets really ugly. So a lot of my advice is you two have to stop drinking because it's not good. You know, it's like
well, people
plain
have
and
to
simple.
Learn how to speak to one another. You know, I mean,
right.
For, even take it a step further, you know, eliminate the alcohol for a second. People don't know how to talk to one another. Everything is adversarial. I mean, think about it. You know, you look at politics right now. Look at what happens
oh,
on
boy.
Facebook. Somebody writes something that differs in opinion of yours. Everybody jumps on them like they just murdered somebody. You know, people don't know how to agree to disagree anymore. They don't know how to interact with each other in a non-adversarial way. And they carry that behavior over into their relationships to the point of where it's normal to look at your partner and say, you know what, go fuck yourself, and then go cuddle on the couch right afterwards. That's not normal. That's
right,
not appropriate.
Yeah.
You know, that should never be your normal. Listen, me and my mother, we get angry at each other. We yell and we curse and, you know, and curse at each other. But you know what? Before we let the argument go after we get heated, you know, the last words out of our mouths are, you know what, sorry for raising my voice, sorry for saying this, sorry for that, I love you, and you know what, we do better next time. You know, I mean, and I come from a very, very emotional Italian family, and you can only imagine what happens there, you know.
Remember,
but,
you know, Facebook,
yeah, but that's not,
post, we're not yelling, we're Italian, you know.
Oh, yeah, exactly, you know, it's just, it's not right. That's not the way to communicate with people. And if people feel like they can't communicate with you unless they yell at you, then you need a lesson in learning how to listen to people. And you need a lesson in learning, you know, how to accept other people's opinions without getting, you know, all kinds of defensive because it differs from your own.
And I think it's becoming very contagious, the nastiness that's over the news media. I found myself in the last few weeks saying, you know, just wanting to be nasty. And I'm not, you know, I'm like, and I stopped myself. I said, what? Like, I didn't want to say something nicely. And I'm like, oh, that's weird. But you're hearing it everywhere. So it's
because,
like,
you're always nice.
Right. So, and I'm like, okay. Like, I said, I have to really, you know, think about that. Like, why all of a sudden do I want to say it like that? And I stopped myself. I never say it, but my first response was almost adversarial. And I'm like, oh, it's something not good in this country. If that's what's happening to people, where their first response is just to say something mean or nasty or cutting or,
yeah,
you know, and so, you know, we all have to work on that because, you know, again, it's called righteous anger. And even with your mom, I want you to promise me that you will practice righteous anger with your mother, because I can't let what you said go, okay?
Okay.
You know, you, your grandma who passed away, Miss Nasty Ass, is, you know, saying, is telling me, she said to me, you let Nicole get away with that. And I said, no, I won't. I will tell her. So when your mom and you are disagreeing, I want you to say, Mom, I love you, but you know, when you say A, B, C, D, or when that, you know, it upsets me, you know, state facts, try not to curse at her, and see if you can't learn with your mom how to have a discussion that's loving. And I know it's very hard with families, by the way, because between mothers and daughters, believe me, if I wish I could master this.
Oh,
okay?
No, it's just hard with her.
It's the loaded grenades that go throwing back and forth between each other, okay? And, you know, just a little sense of humor and a little bit knowing that you're not fixing her or changing her. Okay?
Oh, no, I know this. Believe me, I know that.
Okay,
there's no fixing that woman. I love her, but there's no fixing her.
But also, when we have our own anger issues, it's always nice to have someone we can have a cellmate toxic relationship with, because then we can get angry and rage behind closed doors and then look nice in the outside world. So it could be mommy we do it with, or our child, or someone at work. So all of us have to work at, you know, dealing with our real anger issues and not in our relationships with each other. And believe me, if I mastered that, I wouldn't have to probably walk the earth again, and I'm not sure I'm going to master that fully in this lifetime. So, you know, I try to walk the walk, but I will tell you, I don't always talk the talk, okay? There's times when it's, you know, I find myself in a situation where I'm not controlling my temper or my words, although I try.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly know it's not right.
It's never easy.
Mm-mm.
It's never easy,
it's
but the whole idea is to recognize. The whole idea is just to recognize shit, you know, like say to yourself, damn it, shouldn't have done that. You know, I'm going to have to, you know, correct this or try to unring that bell and just notice the pattern and notice what happens before you start behaving badly, so that this way, next time you see that pattern start up again, you can catch yourself and go, aha, you had that little aha moment, aha, you know, you're like, I'm not falling into this again.
No way, no how. So anyway,
exactly.
We're going to try to get Jennifer here. We have Jennifer?
Yes,
we
are.
Have we spoken to her before?
Yes, you have spoken to Jennifer before. Now, Jennifer saw you, Cindy, a couple of months after her mom died, which is about a year ago. And, you know, it's been very, very challenging without her mom there. And basically, you know, she met a new guy, and she wants to know if you guys have any input. Okay, when I say you guys, I mean you and hopefully her mom coming through. So here is
Jennifer.
And
I like that we're her guys. I like the way that we're her
absolutely.
Guys.
Absolutely.
You know?
You're her guys.
You know,
absolutely.
In your The New York Times once wrote an article, when did women become guys, you know? I like that. I like the Okay, so let's get Jennifer on the air, and let's see if we can get her mom conjured up here.
Hopefully. Hello, Jennifer. You are on the air.
Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jennifer. I know it's hard because you're still mourning for your mom, but she says 1 year has passed, and now you have to pick yourself up, begin again. This guy actually looks quite nice. How long have you known him?
Since August, so I guess 7 months or so.
And are you actually dating? Is it a relationship?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. He's not. You're not like his booty call or his friend with benefits.
No.
It's like a girlfriend.
No.
Okay.
Boundaries are singing, but no.
Because you know your mom's here, and she, you know. She would want it now.
Well, I have to tell you, I've been seeing a million signs. I don't know if she wanted to tell me something or whatever, but I have been seeing so many signs, but I don't know what it is, if it's anything. So.
Right, and also, she is always around you. She's letting you know she never went anywhere. She didn't desert you because she's afraid that your fear of loving someone who could die on you might kick in, and if that kicks in, you'll be afraid to love this guy. So, she's just trying to prove she didn't go anywhere. You know, death ends a life, not a relationship. This woman is here, and she loves you. Now, I'm glad you waited until the seven-month mark because the first 3 months, love is very strong, and you know everybody looks great. 3 to 6 months is the prince that becomes the beast is very apparent. So you've passed that mark.
Oh,
so at
nice.
The seven-month mark, you know, that's what I said. Your mom made sure you called it the right moment, okay?
Oh, maybe that's what it is.
Because in the past, you haven't always picked the best guys, according to your mother.
No, I haven't.
Okay, so love comes from God and someone who died, and your mother's claiming to have brought this guy to you.
Really?
And she brought him very quickly after she died because if she waited too much longer, that really fear of loving someone that could die on you would have kicked in strong. So she,
I think she would have really have liked him. I told
you.
She
really
that,
does like him. The cards that are revealed on him are really great, okay? This is potential to be, you know, a husband. And you guys are very equally matched. You know, you're very well matched. He's hardworking? Because your mom says he's hardworking.
Yes, he's always busy, actually.
Okay, because, you know, she doesn't want anybody lazy. Every card I keep getting is unusual because I got the King of Pentacles and the Queen of Pentacles, which is two hardworking, good people. Then I got the King of Wands and the Queen of Wands, which is people that think they have, think alike, and, you know, it's a very good match. Do you feel a heart connection with this guy? Like you're starting to love him?
Yes.
Do you feel a soul connection? Does he bring out the best in you most of the time?
I want to say yes. I mean, it's just like, it's kind of like now I'm like starting to see other things because, you know, of the time that has passed, like of a lot of our similarities. There is an age difference.
I'm not surprised. Soulmates often have age differences. Who's older,
and
who's younger.
And I think that was the obstacle in the beginning that was really challenging for me because I never dated anyone that was, like, a big age difference, even though people do. So it was, like, just something in myself. He has actually dated people of an age difference before, so, you know, it wasn't obviously as challenging or as big as a deal for him, I think, as it was for me. And I think that I was almost kind of making it too big of a thing to him, which probably would have almost pushed him away because I was like, it was in me, you know, but, you know, I spoke to a lot of my friends about it and it's just something that I think as time went on, when I realized that we had things in common, I kind of didn't see the age thing as much anymore.
Right. And again, because to God, only love matters and it's not unusual for soulmates to have age differences. Okay. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if it's a huge age difference, it can have a built-in expiration date depending upon if his needs are different than yours. Who's older, who's younger in this?
So I'm older and he's younger, and I've actually thought about exactly what you've just said, too. So
okay.
Because
I've
had kids, you know, I'm divorced, I have kids, so I'm not, you know, looking for something obviously like that. And he's younger, which he might not be thinking about or looking about that for now, but possibility, you know, along the way, that's something that, that could come around, which, of course, we haven't talked about, nor I'm just saying, like, that is something that I've thought about only because I've been there already and I've done it.
Right. And again, it's taking it one day at a time.
Absolutely.
And you know, not all relationships are meant to last forever. If it was, you know, soulmate relationships tend to last in five-year cycles. Maybe it's here for 5 years. But that doesn't mean it isn't good. That doesn't mean you shouldn't enjoy it. And,
well,
you know.
Well, I think if anything, I'm having a lot of fun.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, and, you know, it, you know, unless you, the age difference doesn't have to be an issue unless, as he says, you know, 5 years from now, he decides he wants babies and you don't want any more babies, or you can't have any more, whatever the case is, then that would be a deal breaker. But
right.
That does isn't something that you have to worry about now. You know, just enjoy it. There's always lessons to learn in love being brought to us. And I'm glad this was brought to you because it's also a lesson in judgment. You won't judge other people if they have age differences in a relationship. You know, there's always a lot of lessons to be learned. So appreciate and enjoy it. I mean, as far as being a good person, he certainly is a good person. And he's probably mature than most of the men your age.
Yes.
So, you know, just because somebody's 50 doesn't mean they're grown up, you know.
Right.
So, so your mom likes him.
I'm just wondering why he wants to date somebody older. That was my thing, but, you know. I can't harp upon it, obviously.
Well, you know, a lot of, you know, I'm a dating expert as well as a psychic medium. And as a dating expert with the research that I've done and articles that I've written and been exposed to other dating experts, oftentimes younger men are drawn to older women because they really don't necessarily want babies and they don't want all of that. And if they're going to be with someone who's younger, that's always going to be an issue. Okay, so sometimes they like the fact that an older woman is more secure. She's not looking for someone to rescue her. She's already been there, done that. She's gotten that out of her system.
Right.
And you know, they find the experience and being with a person. And it's also sometimes happens that you weren't looking necessarily for somebody younger. He maybe wasn't even necessarily looking for somebody older, although he might like them. It's just that when there's a soulmate connection, these things don't really matter. It's just, you know, the love, the connection is there. So,
right. Okay.
Your mom is just saying enjoy him. And, you know, when the time comes for that and, you know, the talk or whatever, and yet, you know, right now he may say he never wants babies or whatever, but that could change in 5 years. But anybody could change what they want in 5 years, whether they're old or younger. You know what I mean?
So, right. Well, I see it as I've made so many mistakes and whatever that to me it's like even if that happened, positive. You know, like
exactly.
I would
exactly.
Respect it in a way. I would respect it more this way than the other things that have happened in my life for that reason, I think.
Exactly. And so, you know, what I'm seeing here is nothing, you know, nothing bad. Just enjoy it. You know, he's a good guy. You know, your mom, you know, wanted you, instead of mourning for this year, to have a boy toy. She's kind of laughing in her little expression
there. Well,
that's
what I call him, actually, a boy toy. I said, all anybody needs is a boy toy and a dog.
Okay, well, now you know that your mom knows what you needed right now. So she thinks it's perfect. And she's smiling because she didn't want you to mourn. And it also, you know, when you're a little bit older and you have a guy who's younger, it sometimes pushes our midlife crisis to a head.
God.
Uh-huh. So this may be something that helps you with your midlife crisis, which we need to go through. A midlife crisis is a spiritual crisis. You know, we can't believe, in America, it's like, as you get older, you know, women think like it's all downhill. You know, they don't have their looks start to go, or they don't feel like, you know, they start to feel like people look at them like they're invisible. And we have to learn that we're, you know, our soul is immortal, our heart's, you know, eternal child, and, you know, that we're more than just our physical being. And right. I think this is an important, you know, important step for you. So,
thank you, Cindy. You know, thank you so much.
And also, it's nice, you know, you're still very vital and sexual, and this is a nice, you know, sexy guy here. So, enjoy it is what I would say. Enjoy it.
Thank you. I will.
Don't kick the gift horse in the mouth. You know, you must just.
I will. Thank you.
And isn't she brilliant to have brought you this? Because what you really did need was a really nice, loving.
If she only knew how brilliant she was. Yes, and I know she was.
I know, and absolutely. I like her because she's cracking me up because she gets a kick that I get to be sort of your, you know, your mom talking to you from the side, and I get to be a little bit of a mom to you too, which she likes.
Yes,
she thinks
you.
I give you some good motherly advice, even if it's
maybe my mother
wouldn't have given me, you know.
Yeah. Well, I miss her so much every single day, and I know she knows that, so.
And also, soulmates are a beacon of light for the world to see, and God is using you to be an older woman with a younger man, that this is good, this is cool, this is great.
Thank you, Cindy. I finally might have done something right.
I think you did. Well, we're going to try to get our last caller before the show ends, and thank you so much for calling.
Okay, Cindy, thank you. Have a great
You're
evening.
Welcome. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Well, I like that call. I like that one. Now,
yeah.
I thought that was Jimena because I recognized her phone number, and she hasn't called in a long time. I know she was going through that horrible divorce, and now I think she's still with her husband from what I think I see here.
You know what? I'm going to let her. He's an overall. But right now,
honey, you're breaking
a,
in and out. So whenever you are moved, cause you're breaking in and out.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good. Okay.
Yes.
In a nutshell, Jimena just is having some issues with her kids. So she'd like to know if you can shed some light on that. But also, she needs a little bit of help with her career. So let's see what the cards hold for Jimena. Hello, Jimena. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Jimena. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Yeah.
Are you still with your husband?
Yes, I am. But we're pretty much roommates. And no relationship whatsoever. It's just, you know, parenting the kids, but having some struggles with the boys, especially my middle one. She ain't giving me a run for my money lately. The older one, he's been doing okay. He's 11. He's a fifth grader. So I'm just a little concerned. His group of friends have shifted a little bit. So I'm just wondering what you see out there with him. I mean, I'm still working a lot. You know, I'm in the accounting field and finance, which also has, I have some concerns because a lot of women in my environment. But my main concern is my kids, which I'm mostly concerned about my middle one at this point. The older one, he's doing all right, talks a little bit more. He's not as aggressive with me, but the middle one is one that's really giving us a hard time.
Okay, now your kids went through a lot. They saw a lot of violence, a lot of fighting. You know, you two may have put a Band-Aid on a carcinoma for now, but, you know, it's still not showing them a good version of love. And, you know, children are very cognizant of hypocrisy and of things that are not truthful. And, you know, this child is really rebelling against everything that he's seen. And, you know, trying to keep peace in that house right now, is that what you're trying to do between you and your husband?
I'm working so hard at it, Cindy, but it's so challenging. I mean, he, like, digs and digs, and I'm, like, I'm literally living in my bedroom, and I work, like, 15 hours a day, and I'm constantly pretty much at the house on weekends and trying to take care of my kids. So, I mean, we get into arguments. It's, like, not – it's very challenging.
Well, what your 11-year-old is seeing is mom does everything right. She goes to work all day long. She comes home on the weekend, she takes care of the kids, and mom's miserable, and dad's miserable. So what he's thinking is, why should I be good? What comes of being good? What comes of doing what you're supposed to be doing? And so, you know, he's a very sensitive kid from what I could see here. And,
yes.
You know, is he basically, you know, when he's at school, is he doing his work? Is he not doing his work? What's going on with him there?
Well, last year he was an amazing kid school-wise. This year, it's kind of hard to tell. I mean, it seems like he's doing his homework last minute. his report card seems to be fine. He's doing great.
He's smart.
Still.
He's really smart.
He's very smart. He's very, very sharp. And that's the problem. He's too smart that exactly where you pin it, that right on the head where he sees, like, I bust my hump and there's his dad working from home, quote unquote. But every time I actually work from home twice a week, he's just sitting on the couch on his phone. And when I kind of glance, he's on Facebook. He doesn't do anything. And I'm like, oh, my God, is this what he does when he's home with the kids? When I'm busting my hump. So
right.
He has this very sharp kid seeing mama's busting her ass in the language. But and there's dad. What does he do? You know,
right.
And then when I am home, he's grilling me over nonsense.
Right.
So it is a very miserable environment. And I try to, like, bring so much peace and joy in the house, but it's hard on me. I mean, we went on this mini vacation 2 weeks ago, and it was so miserable. I was like, oh, my God. I mean, I was in the hotel room the most of the time.
I mean, you would rather gone to work, which is exhausting, than be on a vacation. Now,
yeah.
But you have to realize this environment is not healthy for him, your son. And he's at risk. All children are at risk for drug addiction. Between 11 and 18, your husband's family has some history of addiction. And,
yes.
You know, your kid is young yet, but you're going to have to, you know, maybe talk to him about things spiritually or talk to, you know, find out what's going on in his mind. But you don't want him to be turned off where he's going to think, why am I going to study hard and work hard? I'm just going to get stoned. Because that's, you know, he's right now very much at risk, this kid. That's what his spirit guides are telling me, that he's a little bit depressed. And is he in therapy at all?
No. His dad completely objects to therapy. He thinks, like, I'm the crazy one. And that's the other problem. He calls me, I'm crazy, I'm lunatic. If I try to put any kind of rules, because the other issue that this kid has is that the video games. He's obsessed with these violent video games, which he plays, like, 4 hours or 10 hours a day.
And that's
trying.
Dark energy. That is really dark energy. It's like people that look at a lot of porn. Porn is dark
right.
energy. I mean, those video games are making him violent. You're putting him at risk for violence. You cannot allow him to watch those violent video games. It's not healthy.
Right. And last weekend, I actually said, okay, listen, you're cut off. You get 1 hour, 2 hours at most a day. You choose morning, p.m., that's it. And his father, like, attacked me like a bulldozer. Started just going at me, like, yelling.
Well, you see, he's, you know what?
It was crazy.
Your husband is sabotaging it, you know, what you're doing with your son.
It was crazy. And then he's just like, you're getting out of this house. I'm kicking you. I mean, it was mortifying. This whole last weekend was a disaster. And I'm like, how do I get these kids out of this house? And it's like, I don't even know what to do anymore, how to control the environment in the household, especially with
kids.
Well,
you need to, first of all, play nice with your husband and get on the same page about the video games. Okay? Like, just, you know, tell him, look, you know, do some research. There's a lot of research on how these violent video games make kids depressed and violent and unhealthy, and show him the research and that, you know, this is what I'm concerned about. And I'm not trying to undermine you at all, but, you know, try to get him on the same page. Because if you don't get your kid out from under those video games, it's just dark, killing, violence. It's ugly. It's really ugly energy. And that's, you know, and it only makes you more depressed. So, you know, see if you can at least get your husband to agree on the video games. Like, if you won't agree with the therapy, get the video games out from him. And when instead of doing the video games, you know, you got to come up with something else that your son would like to do. And
right.
maybe expose him to some different things. So that he can, you know, find other outlets, sports or something else. But
he was in a sport. He was in lacrosse, and he was all excited, made the team, and now he refuses to go.
And
why is
that?
He will not attend any of the games. I have no idea. He says he doesn't like it anymore.
Someone might have said something to him, bullied him or something, and... You know, that's why, you know, then you have to try something else. He doesn't like the lacrosse, then try something else. You know, something has to be given to him because the pattern of sitting there playing those lone video games is not good. It's not good. And, you know, try something else. See if he likes karate or judo or something. You know, see if you can get him in something else. Call in again next week at the beginning of the show, please, because work on
it
a little bit, like I told you, and I want you to call in the very beginning of the show next week and see, because you're not the only parent with this problem. All the boys are watching too many violent video games. You know, the kids are not getting along in groups sometimes, but see if you can calm your husband down for a few days and then just bring some research on it and say, you know, I would really love if we could get on the same page with this, you know, rather than make it like your husband's your enemy. I mean, I know it's hard for you to do, but this you're doing for your son, you know, just trying to get your son to, and ask your son, let's try something. You want to try judo? You want to try this? You want to try that? See if there's something else you can get him to try. And, you know, call in next week.
Yeah,
and
but
see
you know what, though? Cindy.
Okay. Sounds good.
At the same time, though, there, I would use that as a teachable moment. I would not just let – if he wanted to play lacrosse and with Jimena's schedule and with Jimena running out, you know, working and busting her ass and still finding time to get this kid into lacrosse, I don't care if he likes it or not. I think that she should make him stick with it. He made a commitment, and he should honor that commitment. She's honoring her commitment. She's going to work every day. She's busting her ass every day. He should learn how to keep his commitment as well.
And again, you know, sometimes she's right because, you know, my generation were the Santa Claus parents. We didn't want our kids to be in pain. Anytime they weren't happy, we tried to make them happy. It's been a very failed experiment because my generation has raised some of the most drug-infested, drunken, entitled, miserable kids in the history of the world. You know, sometimes they have to do what they don't want to do. You know, they have to try it. And
I was very upset when he didn't take him to practice. Like, are you kidding me? I'm like, he's been prepaid. He made the team. What is not going? There's no reason. There's no excuse. The reason that I don't like it anymore, that it's not acceptable.
Right. And
it's not what?
That he doesn't like it anymore. I'm like, it's not acceptable. What do you mean you don't like it anymore when you made the team and you were all excited about it? Like, overnight, he just doesn't like
it. Jimena, do you love your job? Do you like your job?
Not every
moment.
I
love my job. It's stressful. I mean, not at the moment. I'm very upset about it because there's certain things that I don't like.
Yeah, well, you know what? We all do things we don't like sometimes when we make a commitment to them, don't we?
Of course.
Right.
And
you
have it.
Right, and just, in other words, children don't have the right to always tell us what they want to do because they don't know what's best.
Right.
Yep, exactly.
So, I mean, you're losing control of him. He's 11. He's 13.
Exactly.
You're going to lose control of him, and I don't want you to go through what so much of my generation went through. We lost control of our children in the teen years, and it's horrifying.
Mm-hmm.
And I consider myself blessed than most of the people that I personally know, not my clients. Their children live to tell, but I have too many parents that children didn't live to tell during those teen years.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, you got 11, you still got, you better let him know who's boss is kind of what.
Exactly.
You know, he's got to have a little fear of God. Okay.
Yeah.
So let us know what happens during this week. We have so many clients who are in the same boat as you. So call in the beginning of the week, you know, the next week in the beginning of the show.
Beginning
and
of the show.
We'll guide you on. Okay, because this is too important a topic. Too important a topic. Well, anyway, we have to close up the show before they close it up for us.
Okay,
we'll call in next week. Love you, Amanda.
Okay.
I'm so glad to hear from
you. Okay, love you too. Thank you.
Bye. Bye. So that's an important topic next week, don't you think? So you're going to meditate on that too, Nicole?
Absolutely,
Cindy. But you might want to add to that next week. Okay, because we haven't really
talked
about.
Oh, I'm going to be tough. I'm going to give all of our callers an earful on this topic because it drives me nuts. So I'm just prefacing this, and I'm warning you all in advance.
Well, this is what we need, okay? Because we're back on Earth because we don't know how to punish people, good people. So sometimes we've got to learn to punish these kids, you know?
Yeah.
Well, good luck to everybody.
I said kids today need a freaking smack.
I know, but we'll end up in jail. Okay, so
I know.
Nicole, enjoy your snowboarding, and we'll all talk next week.
Yes.
Bye. Bye.
Bye, Cindy.